you get the terminology correct. Mesoderm refers to the middle layer of cells. And the organization of the cells is mesenchymal. And we can talk about a mesenchymal organization of many different tissues on the basis of being an embryonic connective tissue. And you can see it here, the cells are randomly scattered around like fibroblasts. They don't have the same organization of the epithelia. So this is the process that occurs. And while it would have been good in the original times to just describe what you see morphogenically, we now know the modern end of embryology is trying to work out what is actually occurring at a cellular level in the embryo. And this is what's going on. And in this case, we've used the chicken as a model. And in the chicken, you can easily see gastrulation as you take the top off an egg, and you can actually watch it over time. And you can put markers in there to identify it. And what's going on is one of the first processes that's important for development. And there's a whole range of developmental mechanisms that transform cells from one structural organization to another. And we've got terminology for that as well. And in this case, we describe the process that occurs at gastrulation is an epithelial to mesenchymal transition. And that is, the epiblast was an epithelium here. The basal lamina breaks down at the site of the primitive streak. The epithelial cells lose their interaction with their adjacent epithelial cells and delaminate from the epithelium and migrate down and spread out underneath. So this process goes from an epithelium to a mesenchyme. And in the case of the endoderm, it re-epithelializes. It turns back into an epithelium. So down here, we'll get a mesenchymal to epithelial transition. So it'll turn back into an epithelium. In the case of the middle mesodermal layer, the cells as they migrate out don't transform back into an epithelium. They remain as a mesenchymal organization. That is a connective tissue organization. It's a bit much for 9 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? Yeah. So we're going to spend some time in the lab going through this as well. But it is a really key concept to understand, because the epiblast now forms all of the three germ layers that will form all of the embryo. Once we've defined each of these germ layers, we're going to have a lecture talking about ectoderm, we're going to have a lecture talking about mesoderm, we're going to have a lecture talking about endoderm. And so we're going to keep revisiting these concepts, so you don't have to suck it all in today. What I should mention is that this process that's occurring here is one of the many developmental mechanisms. This epithelial to mesenchymal transition is repeated over and over again in many tissues. So we turn an epithelium into a connective tissue, and we can also turn a connective tissue organization back into an epithelium. And so when we form things like kidneys, when we form things like muscle and other structures, we see changes in the structural organization of the cells. So this process is the formation of the trilaminar embryo, gastrulation, and that groove we could see is actually the valley where the cells are leaving that layer and spreading out. So that's the first thing that's occurring in the third week, gastrulation, forming this three-layered embryo, bilaminar to trilaminar. Let's talk about the other event that's occurring. So here's our primitive disc again. This is we can also classify development into stages. So this is a Carnegie stage 7 embryo. And I'll talk some more about Carnegie classification when we get into the embryonic development. And it's a way of seeing how far through development we are by classifying the embryo in terms of its appearance. So stage 7 occurs in the third week of development. Stage 3 was back when the blastocyst hatched out. Stage 1 was when the zygote formed. So we can classify each step along the way in terms of development. So here we have our embryonic disc with our connecting stalk at the bottom, the primitive streak extending up to the primitive node, And then there's one more feature we can't see on the surface because it's not on the surface. And it starts here at the primitive node. So here I've circled in red the primitive node. And I'd like you to think of this as not only the end of the valley, but a pit or a well, and around it is a mound of cells, and the cells are migrating through as they're going through gastrulation, but above this point they're not gastrulating. What occurs, though, is the epiblast layer extends like a fold. So here's our pit, here's the gastrulation on this end here, and the epithelium extends down underneath and then begins to extend in the opposite direction, that is, away from the primitive streak towards the top end of the disc. This epithelium, as it extends along this way, forms a fold of epithelium growing up towards the other end of the disc, comes around like this, and imagine it like a bent well extending up in the other direction. So if this is the primitive streak, going in the other direction, up in this direction, is the axial process. This is the first stage in development of the notochord. The notochord is the feature we're going to form in the third week of development. Now, it begins as an epiblast fold. When it reaches the very end of the disc, it breaks through into the endodermal layer. And so now, instead of a well, we've got a tunnel. It connects the yolk sac down here through this tunnel up into the amniotic sac. So we go from an axial process to what's described as a neuroenteric canal. It's a channel connecting the amniotic sac to the yolk sac. This is a transient structure that forms in the third week. And then what happens is that epithelial layer fuses down with the endodermal layer, and when it fuses down with the endoderm, we change the name of it again, and we now describe it as the notochordal plate. It's a structure still extending towards the upper end of the disc, but now it's, instead of being a hollow tube, it's fused in with the endoderm. Then the last thing that happens is that that central notochordal plate pinches off and separates from the endodermal layer and now lies in the mesoderm, in the middle layer, as a column of cells. This is the final step in development of our notochord, so we call this now the notochord. The notochord lies in the middle layer, extending from the primitive node up towards the top of the disc. So here's the embryo now, and we can add a few features to it from what we started with. We know that this is the site of where nutrients is coming in from the connecting stalk and would be out attached to the villus processes of the placenta. This primitive streak here is the site of where the process of gastrulation is occurring through the third into the fourth week of development. And from the primitive node extending up in the opposite direction here, we establish the notochord, a column of cells running from the primitive node up in the opposite direction. In the third week of development, in as well as establishing the three layers that will form all of the embryo, we've established the three-dimensional structure of the embryo. So I can actually show you now where the head and the tail and the left and the right of this embryo is, even though it's a flat layer of cells. Up here is where the head or cranial end of the embryo is going to form. Down here where the placenta is, or where the connecting stalk is in the primitive groove, this is the caudal end or the tail end of the embryo. So this midline here is the rostrocaudal axis of the embryo. These flaps or wings on either side represent the left and right of the embryo. And the side that we're looking on, the dorsal side of the amniotic sac, represents the dorsal side of the embryo. The ventral side will be represented by the endodermal layer. So we've got a dorso-ventral axis. Now this is quite important because as well as differentiating the tissues, You've got to know where you are in the embryo. And so the axes that we establish during embryonic development about pattern formation within the embryo. So all the time when we talk about development, we need to talk about two key things that are going on. We need to make a brain, I can understand that, and I need to make skeletal muscle and bones. And they'll go through specific patterns of formation that will be identical in different parts of the embryo. So you make a bone the same way, or two different ways, depending upon where you are. But you need some other signals that are going to tell you where you are in the embryo to tell you to make limb bones for the upper limb or limb bones for the lower limb or a vertebral column. You need some pattern formation superimposed over the differentiation of the tissues. So in the third week, we not only form the germ cell layers, we establish the pattern formers. And the major pattern former in the third week is the axial process, or the notochord. So what does the notochord do? I only want you to think of two things that the notochord does. The first is that as it's a column of cells in this floppy disk of cells, it represents a mechanical structure that runs rostrochordally. So if I had a rigid rod of cells down the midline of a big floppy disk, then this is going to represent a mechanical structure within our trilaminar embryo in terms of how we're going to fold it up. The second major role, which we can't see here, but I can tell you what it does because it's to do with the molecular biology of what the notochord does, is it's a pattern former. It secretes substances which are spread through the extracellular fluid within the embryo, and depending upon how far away from the notochord you are, you'll receive a different concentration of that secreted substance. If you're right next to the notochord, a high concentration of that substance tells you that you're next to the notochord and differentiates you as a structure lying on the axis, such as the vertebral column. If you're further away from that notochordal signal, it tells you you're out towards the edge of the embryonic disc and therefore you differentiate into a different structure altogether from what we see in the midline. So it's establishing a pattern, left-right. There's more to the left-right patterning, but I don't include it in this course here. It's to do with the circulation of factors, but it's too complicated to go into in this course. So the two roles, a mechanical role in terms of how the embryonic disc is going to fold up, and the second is the molecular role of signaling molecule secretion. And I'll tell you the name of the secreted molecule because it tickles my fancy every time. The molecule's called Sonic Hedgehog. Little blue guy that you play on the Nintendo. It's probably all before your time. Sega, is that? Sorry, got it. Before my time, obviously. And so the name of this protein is called Sonic Hedgehog. It's a secreted protein. It's bound by receptors on the surface of other cells, which signal to those cells as to where they are. Yes. Well, it's receiving a signal from the notochord. It's also going to receive a signal from the ectoderm. It's going to receive a signal from the endoderm. And those three things together are going to give it a three-dimensional pattern formation. So if you're receiving signals from different planes, you are at the intersection of those three signals. And it comes into play, the best model that I can talk about, because it's quite complicated, when we talk about limb development, I'm going to spend half the lecture in limb development talking about pattern formation within the limb. The limb is a beautiful model because it has this lovely three-dimensional structure that everyone can see, and we now know what the signaling regions are of the limb as it develops. So I'll talk about pattern formation then. The course is too short to cover both aspects in detail. So I like animations. Who doesn't? Let's have a look then at the notochord. Go away. And here's the primitive streak. And what we're going to see here, I hope, is the notochordal process. This is the purple that's seen here, extending up towards the cranial end. This is the primitive node and the primitive streak. The connecting stalk would be down here. So we've got the three layers, the epiblast or ectoderm, the yellow being the endoderm, and this is the notochordal or axial process when it originally forms. The red layer is the mesoderm. If we cut it across and look at it in cross-section, that process that I talked about, here's our epiblast tube. It fuses with the endodermal layer, forming a notochordal plate region in the endoderm, and then gets pinched off from the endoderm again to form the notochordal process, which is a solid column of cells running in the rostrochordal axis of the embryonic disc. So they're the structures which go on to form the notochord, and all occur in the third week of development. Now, I know you're going to ask yourself, I'm an adult, I've done gross anatomy, I've never seen a notochord when I've chopped up a human being. The answer is that the notochord is a transient structure in an embryo. You don't have one anymore. It's there to pattern and fold the embryo. If you were looking for a notochord when you do gross anatomy, where would you find it? You'd actually find a remnant of the notochord in the vertebral body. In the core of the vertebral body, that little spot right in the middle there, is exactly where the notochord would lie. The notochord does contribute something. It probably contributes the nucleus pulposus of the intervertebral disc. So that's the structure which is formed from the notochordal process. But not much else. This last animation here, I'm going pretty well, is a diagram which represents how mesoderm is spreading out from the primitive streak. So as it migrates out of the epiblast layer shown in white here, it spreads out between the two layers and spreads out over the entire disc. So by the end of the third week, we've gone from a bilaminar embryo. We've gotten rid of the hyperblast. We've gastrulated the epiblast to form three layers. And the best way to think of it is, if you want to tell your parents at home what an embryo looks like, if you get three plates out of the cupboard and stack them on top of each other, that's our embryo. Three round dinner plates in the third week of development. Now, there are a couple of other things here that I've not talked about. And one of the features you can see is right up at the cranial end of the embryo here. And the other feature is right down at the caudal end of the embryo here. Those two regions are the only places where mesoderm doesn't spread out and form the third layer. So this region here must consist of what? There's no mesoderm. Ectoderm and endoderm. Yep, exactly. It's going to be a region where the ectoderm and endoderm are in close apposition with each other, they're adherent together, and no mesoderm is pushed between them. Similarly down here, exactly the same sort of structural organisation. Ectoderm and endoderm, closely adherent together, no mesoderm between them. These two regions lie at the very cranial end of the embryonic disc and the caudal end of the embryonic disc, and represent, even though it doesn't look like it, the oral cavity and anus that will form, the buccopharyngeal membrane and the cloacal membrane. These are two specialised regions lying at the very top and bottom of the disc, which will form the upper end of the gastrointestinal tract and the very bottom.
Terry, just wanted to know, does the mesoderm spread all the way to the edge so you can see it from the side?
It not only spreads to the edge, it spreads out of the edge of the disc and forms the extraembryonic mesoderm as well. So it's spreading out, lining the chorionic cavity, covering the surface of the yolk sac. So it's going to have extraembryonic mesoderm on the surface, endoderm on the inside, and the chorionic sac's going to be lined by extraembryonic mesoderm. So this is the buccopharyngeal membrane, because we don't want to make it an easy thing to remember. We want to make a big thing to get wrong. The alternative name for it, which is nice and short, is the oral membrane. This one down here is the cloacal membrane. I've got no shorter name for that. That's what it is. Cloacal membrane. So this is the upper and lower end of the gastrointestinal tract, and the notochord would lie between the primitive node here, and it runs all the way up until what happens here? It's mesoderm, and it's coming up, and it's going to come to ectoderm and endoderm closely stuck together. That's as far as the notochord can go. So the notochord ends just beneath here. So the notochord runs in the midline in this region. Okay.
Sorry, what were those areas called? Were there any special names
for them? Were there any special names for those regions? I think I called the top one the oral membrane or the buccopharyngeal membrane and the bottom one the cloacal membrane. We'll once again come back and talk about this with the gastrointestinal tract.
Is that what they're called at that point, though?
Yes, it is. Okay. So, the last bit of today's lecture, and I realise it's 9 o'clock in the morning, so gastrulation and axial processes is all I thought I could squeeze into your heads to start with. Let's do something nice and easy to think about. Let's take our three dinner plates and fold them up. So the last thing that occurs in the third week of development is to fold up these three dinner plates. Now clearly I can't fold a dinner plate, so the analogy has to end there. But if I've got my three layers, and I'll keep the same orientation, here's the amniotic sac at the top, ectoderm, mesoderm, endoderm, and a yolk sac underneath, with the notochordal process running from me out to you, so this is our rostrochordal axis, what occurs? Well, our embryonic disc continues to proliferate and expand and forming a bigger and bigger dinner plate. So it may have started out small, but it's getting bigger and bigger across. Not big by your standards, probably about half a millimetre or less, but reasonably big. And the amniotic sac, or the cavity above it, is expanding in volume. So I've got these three very thin layers of cells forming a big flat sheet with a fluid-filled sac above it, and a fluid-filled sac beneath it. And what happens then is, as it gets bigger and bigger, it's a big floppy disk, and the process that occurs in our big floppy disk, and I've got it here somewhere, the process that occurs is that the edges of the disk begin to curl or fold. So all around here, right around the outside of our disk, the edges begin to bend or buckle or fold. And they fold ventrally. So if the amniotic sac's on the top, they fold downwards towards the yolk sac. So the edges all fold down. Left and right folds down, cranial, caudal end folds down. So all the three layers together are folding around like this. So if I was to represent it, all of the outside of this would be folding ventrally, including the connecting stalk. So the connecting stalk comes from the end of the embryo, and as it gets folded ventrally, it gets folded around here to where the placenta comes out, the ventral portion of the embryo. The cranial end, up here, where the heart is, or will form, gets folded over like this and brings the heart down into its anatomical position. And the left and the right side of our embryonic disc is going to be folded around ventrally like this, and come around and fuse around the front. So everything folds ventrally. This is still the dorsal side. What regulates how it's going to fold? Well, remember, we've got this big rigid rod of cells up the midline. And it's like any structure. I'm looking around for a structure. Where's a structure? Nothing. It's like any structure, a big floppy thing. If I put a rod underneath it, it's going to fold over that rod. And this is the mechanical role in the third week. That notochordal process running up in this plane here is the only solid structure in our embryonic disc, so it's going to fold like this over it. It's going to fold everything ventrally. So in the third week, we fold up our embryonic disc. Now, another way of looking at it is by cutting it down the middle. And let's have a look at this. So, in this animation, if it loads, here. this animation here, what I've done is put the connecting stalk at the end. And we're now not going to look at it from the bottom, but we're going to cut me down the middle here. So cut right down the middle line and you're going to look at me side on. So here's the connecting stalk down at one end. This is the caudal end of the embryo. And this is the cranial end. The blue layer here is the epiblast and it lines what sac? The amniotic sac. So this is the dorsal side of the embryo up here. The yellow layer here is the endoderm and it lines what sac? Yolk sac. What's this white space out here? It is a cavity. I told you there were three cavities that lie outside of the embryo. The amnion, the yolk, and the chorionic sac. So this is a big fluid-filled chorionic sac. Now this is cut down the midline. And what you'll see here is the edges of the disc fold over ventrally. So here's the cranial end folding over, the caudal end folding over. And of course we can't see left and right because we've cut it down the midline. And we end up with the heart here and the placental cord attached at the umbilical region. And you'll see that the amniotic sac now forms an amniotic sac which covers the embryo, which is something you all imagine from human development because the embryo develops from this time on enclosed within an amniotic sac. So this is...
Where's front and back?
This is dorsal, this is ventral. Cranial caudal, and it's cut down the midline. Okay? These are our three layers. Everything blue is ectoderm, everything red is mesoderm, everything yellow is endoderm. And then we have the folding of the embryonic disc. Now, that's a midline cut. What's another way of thinking about what the embryo looks like in the third week? Well, it's a hollow tube. It's a hollow tube that has endoderm in its core, mesoderm wrapped around the outside of it, ectoderm outside of that again. And it makes sense, if you think about it, because this is my ectoderm out here. I've got mesoderm underneath the surface ectoderm, and in the very core of me, I've got my gut tube, which runs down the length or the axis of the embryo. So now all we've got to do is make all of those tissues out of these three germ layers. And that process is going to take us a little while to do. And these are the events that are occurring in the third week of development. So if you look at an overview of what's gone on so far, we had fertilization occurring here. We've gone as far as the third week in development, and by the third week in development we've got gastrulation and folding that have followed the implantation of the blastocyst. And then from this third week on, we begin to talk about processes that occur within each one of those germ cell layers. So the next series of lectures will look at what happens to the ectoderm, what happens to the mesoderm, and what happens to the endoderm from the fourth week of development on. Now I have to talk a little bit in the last bit, second, about terminology. All of the dates that I've given you that I use in embryology are from fertilization. Everything you hear in the real world associated with clinicians and doctors refers to the last menstrual period because they're not usually around at the time of fertilization. They do know though when you weren't pregnant, which is the last menstrual period. And the timing of events clinically differs from the fertilization time by about 2 weeks. So we're always going to have a 2 week difference in timing between clinical staging and the staging I'm describing in embryology. So this would be the fifth week gestational age. I'll finish there. Make sure that everyone